All right, welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. My name is Keith. I am here, as always, with my buddies Chuck and John. It is a snowy afternoon, the snow which has shut down most of Nashville, Tennessee. I hear it's coming for Atlanta. About a quarter inch of just mixed precipitation.
Made me buy a Jeep, four-wheel drive, baby.
Chuck now owns a four-wheel drive.
Not just any Jeep, a Jeep colored like the A-Team van.
There's no gray, it's just black and red. It's heat colors.
I pretty much only remember black and red.
Mm-hmm. Just that one A-Team
van had gray?
I feel like it was gray.
It might have been just black and one red stripe.
Yeah.
Yours is more evenly matched.
Yeah, mine's more even red and black.
When I saw it, I thought it was the A-Team van.
So. I thought it was a Harley Quinn flavored.
I might get the Heat logo on the front.
You absolutely should. You should get a Whiteside fathead up on the side of that.
I'm buying you I'm buying you the weird boomerang spoiler.
How about a Tyler Johnson? Your only
don't
point
do
guard?
That. He's not playing well.
We just do.
You act like Josh Richardson doesn't exist. You see that dunk?
Yeah, he's also
Josh Richardson exists.
That dunk was great.
So awful.
We're jumping ahead.
It's the only field goal he scored that game.
And maybe all season.
We're jumping ahead, gentlemen. On this snow day, did you guys eat breakfast?
You bet your little balls I did.
Hell yeah.
What'd you have, John?
My old lady somehow got into Costco. I don't know how. We don't have a membership. But somehow she got in there.
Take a tour?
I'd
love to see your wares. Could you show me around?
She printed out a ID badge. She works there.
She had to go to New York City to get a fake Costco ID. Did anyone else, when you went on your school trip to New York, did everyone get a fake ID? You guys do a school trip to New York?
Nope.
No. You guys grew up poor?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
got it.
Yeah,
got it.
Really John, poor. Chuck and I grew up not with
super
money.
Super poor.
Got it. Okay. Talking to my peoples, y'all know what I'm talking about. School trip.
Yeah, our listeners,
in New York
they
City.
Know. Our listeners know. Yeah.
And then when you went on that European trip and you could drink at 16? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's right. But anyways, huge box of breakfast bars. And now she's obsessed with joining Costco.
Costco breakfast. Were they probiotics? I know she's been feeding you a lot of those.
They are good for the colon.
Good for the, yeah. That's solid. I would say the school I work at part-time, kind of well off.
Yeah.
Their spring break, they have buffered days, which I assume are jet lag days.
Right.
Like they have the Friday and the Monday off around the spring break. So it's like 10 days off. I'm like, what's that for? And they're like, oh, well, we went to Paris, and we're going to this, you know.
Oh, yeah. I went
you're
to
like,
all
you're like,
those
goodness
European countries.
Goodness gracious. Over spring break, if I was lucky, I could go to a friend's house and play his Nintendo.
My dad, he worked two jobs for 4 months, 80 hours a week. No, I'm poop you not. He worked 80 hours a week for 4 months. One of the jobs was at American Airlines just because they had free flight benefits so he can take his 6 kids to Ireland, his home country.
Well, that's an overseas
he
trauma.
He almost killed himself. Probably took 5 years off his life.
I don't know, Chuck. Getting on
the
plane.
The upside to boarding school, you have to deal with all the, you know, homoeroticism and literally having no fun for 5 years. But the upside is you get to go on baller trips.
That's cool. That's pretty cool. I just was poor. And yeah.
Made you the man you are today, Chuck.
Yeah, an awful.
A poor adult.
Well,
here was my strategy.
Both of us are failures.
Decidedly middle class. My dad's a veterinarian.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that's pretty middle class.
That's upper.
I was just such a horrible child that they had to send me away, and I got to live like a rich kid.
That's amazing.
That's a life hack right there.
From those that know you, we're not surprised.
No.
For my breakfast, I had a little snow day treat. The wife stayed home. Fixed up some pancakes with some of those superfood.
Panakeku?
Some of those superfood blueberries that we steal from our baby.
Love it.
And so
yeah, acai fruit.
Made me some blueberry pancakes. So I ate. I know I'm not a huge breakfast eater, despite our gimmick. And but I, however, did have many pancakes, and it was a wonderful treat.
I'm going to start calling Keith as soon as I wake up and go, hey, man, eat up.
You used to be on game day. AKA recording day, I would seek out a breakfast.
Just for the story. No,
just for the sake of the story. What'd you have, Chuck?
I went to the good old standard Cracker Barrel this morning.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, killed it.
That's good living.
It was a good living. I had the...
Tony Allen's favorite.
Yeah, the egg sandwich with bacon on the rye, sourdough bread. A little hash brown casserole on the side.
Got to.
It was fantastic. I even had some fruit.
You don't want to get the Herschel's breakfast?
No, that was too much. It's like 80,000 calories.
It's a lot.
It's like 15 meats.
It's for a person who works all day on their feet.
It is.
Chuck's light breakfast is at Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, I'm just having a little light breakfast. Yeah, it was fantastic. I love Cracker Barrel, man. There's hardly better breakfast food, and it's all over the country.
Here's the deal. I don't understand Cracker Barrel. I understand it from an eating perspective,
because
It is delightful. However, who is even alive that is nostalgic for the knickknacks on those walls?
Everybody's Nana. Dude, everybody's Nana
buys. How many Nanas you got left?
Everybody's got a Nana.
How many Nanas you got left?
There's always a generation of Nanas.
Do you have a Nana?
Somebody's got a Nana.
As far as the clothing and games things, no, I can't relate. But I did grow up, or like, if we were on road trips, we would pull over and we could buy those like 10-cent sugar cane like sticks, like flavored sticks. So like I have nostalgia toward those. Like
they need to change that stuff to, you know, if they want to shoot for a good old Southern nostalgia, put like some meth lab crap on the walls. That's what I think about.
Glad you went with meth lab.
Well, I don't have any nostalgia towards that. I didn't know about a meth lab until like 2008.
Yeah. You didn't realize that the person living two doors down from you where you couldn't see into their house? That was a meth lab. Yeah.
It's my go-to move is the Cracker Barrel gift shop is my go-to move to give all my nieces and nephew gifts. So you can like chattering teeth and whoopee cushions, all things that make my sister upset.
Those crooked nails just that are impossible to get apart.
Just go to Spencer's in the mall and get them all glow-in-the-dark condoms.
That's it.
We could.
They're all in middle school.
French
cool.
ticklers.
All right. After our breakfast talk, we move on to our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our chance to make amends for anything we got wrong in any previous episode or in this great walk that we call life.
Wow.
Does anyone have anything they need to apologize for?
I do.
Yes, Chuck.
Last week when we were doing our rundown of my crazy trip to New York City, I forgot to tell you what I had for breakfast.
It was an incomplete episode.
So I have to go back and apologize to everyone who listened with bated breath and to all those people who didn't even notice. for the both of you, I want to tell you that while I was in New York City, I had my probably top five favorite breakfast things to eat. It is the Bodega breakfast sandwich on a roll, egg, ham, cheese, and you're killing it for $2.50 in the city. Yeah, it's fantastic. And you can get them at any bodega that has a cat lingering out front. Yeah. That's your telltale good bodega sign.
That's not what I bought at bodegas when I was in New York.
Oh, what are you talking about, John? You buy black market lungs? Is that what you're talking about? Body parts?
Just stuff you buy at bodegas.
Okay, cool.
Breakfast was the last thing on my mind.
I love breakfast. Bodega sandwiches.
That's where you get the fake IDs.
That is. You set it up on
you. You go in the back.
Well, I didn't know that. I didn't go on a privilege trip. I mean, class trip.
Don't you dare check my privilege. I'm going to talk about a trip that we all went on, courtesy of the one and only Rabble Ron.
Oh, yeah. Shut up, Rabble. We saw the Grizzlies and Porzingis.
Porzingis got treated like kings. It was a little bit like being in boarding school. Got to sit frighteningly close and got to go down to courtside and went to the special rich people restaurant. That was cool.
That had cheaper food than where poor people sit.
That
blew my mind.
Problematic.
Yeah, so downstairs.
To quote NPR.
Yeah, so downstairs at the Grizzlies arena at FedEx Forum. There's a what would be classified as a steakhouse restaurant, right? It's
Kelly English's steakhouse.
It's literally next to the tunnel where the players come out of. And one of the sandwiches there was a wonderful dirty debris sirloin. It wasn't dirty. It was a debris sandwich.
Debris
sirloin. And it was $10. And I think a hot dog is $14.99. Upstairs.
Chuck was quitting smoking, so that was the first of Chuck's six meals of the evening.
I did have six meals. Did. Chuck, but I made it through for the night, no cigarettes.
Yeah,
so
yeah, Chuck made it through with the no smoking.
And we went through like Mos Eisley's Cantina and stuff. There was some smoke.
Yeah, what was great is that we went through the whole night, me not smoking. I got progressively more drunk, and it became increasingly harder.
Which leads me to my apology.
So what is your apology?
Because Chuck, after... Silky O'Sullivan's, and we drank an entire, what was that, a
hurricane bucket?
Like a Home Depot bucket full of sugar drink.
Painter's bucket.
Check our Instagram for details. Chuck was in a fugue state, was like drifting behind the rest of us. And then all of a sudden, I hear from behind me, Matt Barnes! Matt Barnes! Matt Barnes! Matt Barnes! And we see Matt Barnes booking it around 2 a.m., to some den of inequity. And he kind of threw up a hand to say, like, hey, yo. And then he, like, put his head down and he's...
It was really funny. He acknowledged the Chucks. Matt Barnes. He looked up, kind of waved.
And then
galloped away. Quit,
yeah, he went from a trot. He went to a canter to a gallop.
Yeah,
I don't really blame him.
He took off with quite the
because my voice, if I do recall, in a semi blacked out state, it was an initial surprise. Matt Barnes, and then probably mania.
By the end, you sounded like Willem Dafoe from Platoon. So he took off like Tom Berenger.
Well, I wanted to give him some of my juice in my bucket, and he didn't want any.
Chuck did take that slurricane bucket to at least three other bars successfully.
Mm-hmm. Nobody told me
I'd also like to apologize to the pizza parlor for walking in there, slapping down my credit card, and saying, give me all the pizza you got.
You don't need to apologize for that. You could maybe apologize to the people after us.
Oh, that is true.
Because they were closing down, and John literally bought every slice. And then when we left, they're like, do you have any pizza? And I was like, no, we bought it all.
I was just sucking out of
us. That's the downside to us getting free tickets through Rebel Ron, thank you again, is that I felt the need to spend every dollar I had. Because it just didn't feel right.
Right.
A free trip didn't feel right.
Well, to wrap up the apology and to bring it explicitly to the basketball, my apology, which I was setting up last week.
Been waiting for this one.
John was waiting for it. In our Grizzlies epilogue, presented by Fan Essentials, I railed on the stretch of six games where Marc Gasol was very, very poor. And much like other things that I rail on, such as how I lifted up the Hornets and the Magic over several weeks.
The parishioner's curse.
Yes. The curse of Keith, where the regression comes for you. My apology is to the one Mark the Shark, for after me putting him down so hard on air, he then, in my presence...
In your very face.
Threw up 37 points.
Mm-hmm.
Firing away.
Had one of his best games.
One of his best games of his career offensively.
What a perfect trip.
Porzingis and was amazing. So I do apologize to Marc Gasol.
I think you did call him an offensively challenged Brooke Lopez last week.
Oh, you son of a...
Effectively.
Yeah, maybe. You so and so.
Maybe.
I was throwing some...
Misquoting, but...
I was throwing some haymakers. All right. Those are our breakfast in bed apologies. All right, now after our breakfast in bed apologies, what's the best thing you saw in the last week/8 days?
Oh, it's so simple.
The steak and eggs.
What is your steak and eggs?
Oh, it's
best
so
thing?
Simple.
What is it, Chuck?
I don't know if you guys watched this little basketball game that was played between Golden State and Cleveland, but that was the best thing I've seen all week. I hate the Cleveland Cavaliers because I'm a Miami Heat fan since Bimbo Coles way back, and LeBron James is an awful human being that deserves every inch of pain he gets, and to watch his team be destroyed so thoroughly.
Every inch of pain, was that a Delonte West joke?
It was. Yeah, it was gorgeous. What was my favorite part, and what is technically my best?
How many points did they lose by?
A billion. They lost by 35, I think.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
32, 35, something like that.
We were texting Keith from, Chuck and I watched from a sports bar, and we were texting Keith, and Keith was like, I turned that off.
Stopped. Oh, yeah. A long time ago. Yeah, so my favorite part of the whole thing. Obviously, it ended wonderfully. The Cavs lost in tragic fashion. But what was wonderful before was Steph Curry saying on his return to the Quicken Loans Arena since winning the championship, he says, quote, hopefully it still smells like champagne.
And that's good trash talk.
To me, to then go out and win by 35 points shows me that Steph knows what he's doing.
You just made me cough out loud.
That's my best of the week.
I thought it might have been that Kevin Love quote. I don't remember what it was, but Kevin Love said something like we still got a long way to go, and it all trickles down from that leader over there.
It was like
a weird subtweet in real life of LeBron James.
There's so much going on.
I know you love Chuck just sits around waiting for news of the Cavaliers' demise and cracks showing.
Well, whenever Ryan Anderson, I mean Kevin Love, plays the way he does, it's hard to be mad at him for wanting more touches. Remember when he was one of the best players in the league?
Shots fired.
Do you guys remember when Kevin Love was one of the best players?
I do.
And
I'm curious to see if he makes any of our midseason All-Star teams.
That's some foreshadowing. Will we be picking All-Star teams?
We are going to pick our All-Star teams.
I'm really good at this.
Speaking of those Warriors who came out and took care of business, not just against the Cavs, also against the Bulls. they had looked over their shoulders, saw the Spurs were have been tracking them down. And they're like, you know what?
The historically great Spurs.
Let's step it up. But because of this, because of these blowouts, now, since Steve Kerr took over last year, the Warriors are 90-0 when having a lead of 15 points.
Wow.
That is spectacular. Well, it is arbitrary, but you know how many teams come back from people come back from 15 points down all the time. Mm-hmm. Chuck's very own underwhelming Miami Heat have something like 5 or 6 wins from when they've trailed by 15 points this year already. So in over an
That's
entire
just when
year,
they take out Tyler Johnson.
Right. So just over an entire now year and a half to be 90-0, and honestly, you find me any team that's 90-0 anything over the last year and a half.
It's
going to be hard because 90 wins is a lot,
right?
For just not even being two full seasons.
There's a couple of teams, or there's plenty of teams that don't have 90 wins over two seasons.
I know, exactly. Like the majority of the league.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's incredible that when they get these leagues, even though they are how a Barkley or someone of that sort will criticize a jump shooting team, even though we know they're not, you think of this team of getting hot, you know, going on a run from outside and then maybe letting teams creep back in when their shots go cold. Hasn't been the case.
No.
They just take care of business. They squash their opponents.
They wring them dry. It's wonderful.
Man.
My steak and eggs. Let's take it back to Memphis, boys.
Here we go.
I'm not ready to let this trip
go. Don't let it go.
We had fun.
Saša Vujačić, you may not know this, plays for the Knicks.
You should know this.
The reason you may not know this is he barely plays.
I believe he was their opening day starter.
However, sitting only a few rows behind the bench, best seats ever, the visitors' bench, started a chant that went a little something like this. Put in Saša. Put in Saša. And we kept it going. And just like that time, Chuck always clapped a little extra.
I always clapped the last time.
Something about maybe John and I being musicians, we always knew when to quit immediately, and then we just left Chuck hanging.
And Chuck's just going, hype man in it.
I'm just the hype man. y'all need to tap me before we stop.
But that wasn't the best part. The best part wasn't that we had that. I'm not giving the best to us. I'm giving the best to Sasha's response. And I can't quite remember. Keith finally pushed him over the top. Keith yelled some sort of missive at him, and Saša just turned around at us, smiled, and winked.
Well, so what Saša did was in a timeout, we'd already been doing the put in Saša chants. And so during a timeout to himself, imagine, dear listener, that he was holding an invisible ball and he was like going through a step, what might be some kind of elaborate layup. And like he was just practicing to himself mentally, maybe if I get in the game, I'm going to try this layup step. Yeah. And so he was facing us doing that little step through move. And I just yelled at him like, oh, I see your moves, Saša. I got the moves. You got the moves. And I started doing these things. And to that, he looked up and cracked up and gave us a wave. So we were friendly heckling.
It was friendly.
We were friendly heckling, and I always do like it when the NBA players, like, they hear you, and then they look up, smile, and wave. It makes you feel good. You're like, you know,
we were friendly heckling to Saša. There was some very, very specifically unfriendly heckling.
I tried to keep my heckling at least humorous to everyone except for Derek Fisher. but another thing that was great about Saša Vujačić, they finally did put him in when the game was no longer when it was no longer in doubt, and he hit a 3-pointer, which helped me and Chuck hit that over.
Oh, that was
funny because since we were behind the visitor bench, there were several obviously Knicks fans around, and we'd been cheering for Saša. And when he went in and hit that three, we actually cheered with the Knicks fans to the confusion of our Grizzlies people around us.
They had no idea
because we were decked out in Grizzlies fans. We were trying to explain the over. Yeah, you know.
I didn't care.
But it was
we had our costumes on tight.
That was great. All right, so now what are the opposite of the steak and eggs? What's your cream of wheat? Worst of week.
Shall I keep it in Memphis?
Go ahead. Let's wrap up Memphis, and you give it. Take us there.
This will be the last reference to the trip to Memfo. Derek Fisher, you sly dog. Derek Fisher, like, preemptively nuclear striked our planned heckles of him by coming out dressed completely in black.
And, like, formal wear.
Yes. With like a sparkling black brooch.
I thought it was a corsage. I thought it was a corsage.
It could have been mistaken for a corsage. But
it was sparkling. Flowers do not sparkle.
Okay.
I think it was a flower themed brooch. which we were ready with our Derek Fisher heckles.
Right.
But we had to look around. We in that funereal garb, we had to be like, Wait, did somebody in his family die?
We checked Twitter.
Yeah, I was like going through Twitter trying to find out if like, is this in honor of someone?
I texted.
Like, is this for the veterans?
Yeah, I texted my buddy and basically asked him, he's a Knicks fan. And he responded, well, he probably just dressed for his funeral.
Dressed for his own funeral.
He really did. And
his own Matt Barnes related funeral.
He was booed like a
lustily
from the heavens.
Well, I was saying like a wrestling villain.
It was incredible.
It was Memphis.
Heel Jerry Lawler.
Memphis loves the wrestling.
Sputnik Monroe.
And they they definitely
Chuck
put their booing weight behind it when he came out.
In my mind, Chuck was so disheartened that he left permanently. Turns out just getting meals 3 through 5.
He was just getting Chuck disappeared for a hot dog for a while.
I had a sneaky hot dog that I didn't tell anybody about until the next day.
But you didn't even need to go get it because we had like the floor service.
Yeah, and then
he was ashamed.
I ordered another hot dog and she brought me nachos and I didn't complain. I just
housed them.
Destroyed them.
That was pretty funny.
You Oliver Miller'd those ding dongs.
Chuck, what's your cream of wheat?
My worst of the week, you guys caught the Pistons-Rockets game, but towards the end, KJ McDaniels did one of the more impressive
The start of the second half.
Yeah, was it the start of
the second half? It was the start of the second half.
Yeah, the start of the second half.
In 8 seconds, committed five
nine
fouls.
Seconds, nine five, seconds, yeah. Five fouls, just so that they could get into the bonus and basically be able to foul Drummond the rest of the quarter.
Right.
I thought this would have died with Kevin McHale, so this must come from on high. This must be a Daryl Morey thing.
It could be. It seems Morey-esque.
Because now Bernie Bickerstaff.
It seems Moneyball related, where you're just playing the numbers. And he did miss 23 free throws.
So one more than Steph Curry's missed all year.
Yeah. So
exactly. So we can say that again. In one game, Andre Drummond missed more free throws than Steph Curry's missed this entire season.
That's incredible.
He set a record for the most misses. I'm glad you mentioned this because this is I don't think that Haka whoever is a big problem. Like that's my personal take. However, it's not
a problem if you want to win.
It's not that. It's a good point. It's not enough that the Rockets play a type of basketball that is
unwatchable.
That is so. You know, maybe for the average fan, maybe for the non-Houston fan, it's kind of annoying, and you like it's all about trying to get all these free throws. So it's not enough that they did that. Now that they're murdering basketball by just starting off with I feel like getting on the PTI high horse. It was a farce, John. It was a farce. They made the game a farce.
Good night, Canada. What furthermore sucks about that is there's a lot of teams in the league that would gladly take KJ McDaniel.
Oh yeah. KJ McDaniels was coming.
We were
for that Bubba Wells foul-out record. Bubba Wells fouled out in like 3 minutes.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, you got to have some kind of. I'm curious why they didn't just let him foul out. They thought maybe that was rude or mean to him.
I guess Bernie Bickerstaff Jr. has a little more class than my high school coach, who would definitely send in the last guy on the bench to just hack the balls off of whomever he didn't like in the game.
And I wonder if I feel like this is going to force the hand of the NBA where they're going to come up with some weird rule in this offseason to address this. Also, the thing now that, you know, in the last 2 minutes,
Silver's going to have Morey killed.
it could be that as well. But now in the last 2 minutes, teams are getting wise. You know, you can't foul away from the ball, but the loophole is you just jump on the back of whoever you want on a rebound. Even if the ball goes in, you just jump on Andre Drummond's back, and you're like, oh, I fouled him during the rebounding process.
So. And he'll still get the rebound.
So, that's it.
Even if it goes in.
So, yeah. No, that was...
Maybe KJ just got stuck in Andre Drummond's back here.
But what's the solution to this? If we agree it's a problem, what's the solution?
Just, I don't...
A gentleman's agreement?
We were just one of those unwritten rules where you just don't do it.
I think...
Because you can't make an intentional foul. Like, we would have to make it an intentional foul.
Adam Silver brings each GM and coach into an alley and explains to them, here's what happens the next time this happens.
I think there's... Well, so you could do that. You're saying the David Stern route.
Right. And then you wake up with Rick Mahorn's head in your bed.
I think two rule changes could be possible. One, any away from the ball foul... is just a free throw in the ball.
Ball in.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
A technical foul, like a defensive three seconds.
Right.
Or you can just do any away from the ball foul. Or actually, maybe for any foul, you could choose to take it out of bounds. So instead of the free throw, you're just like, yeah, you're fouling out. That's even better. You've put your whole team. I didn't come up with these my own, John. I feel like.
Why didn't you tell me that?
These are
Chuck, would you please stab this beer?
My pleasure.
Fast break riff is a drinking game.
Right. This is Chuck with his ritual stabbing of the beer can, like those old Hawaiian punch cans you might have had at day camp if you were poor and not flying to Europe.
That's right.
On your summer breaks.
Although in my opulence, I do get nostalgic for like old Clint Eastwood movies where they pull the pool tabs off of beers, like off an Olympia beer. I just want to pull a pool tab off my Olympia beer and hang it to my orangutan best friend.
It's only a matter of time before PBR uses that as a marketing technique.
And so. You know, they'll get me. They will have me hook, line, and sinker.
I feel like Mountain Dew would do this. I don't know. I don't know what they're waiting for.
I don't
for.
Want the sodas. I want the beers.
They've done the old throwback glass bottles. But anyway, I'm glad you took that as your worst, Chuck, because I mean, that was my worst, too. That ruined an almost watchable game of basketball. Mm-hmm. Also, you spoke of Andre Drummond's hairy back.
Yes.
I believe he has been body shamed into shaving.
No.
So I don't.
How come he can miss 23 free throws and go to Twitter and say it is what it is, and then be body shamed into shaving his back?
Or maybe he chose. I mean, here's the thing.
You sure, it just wasn't bad cameras.
It might have just been the SD.
Each team's got the different levels of HD cameras.
I don't want to see that. I hope that him choosing to be waxed or shaved was a personal choice. I hope it wasn't because people were making fun of him. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I don't make fun of it. I think it's a technique. It's like when you used to, like, if you were on the high school wrestling team, your opponent would not brush his teeth.
Maybe you had a big date. Whenever I'm, like, there's a girl I'm afraid is going to see my back for the first time, I will definitely get it.
Little trim.
Just, I mean.
All right.
What do you do?
Nair.
Really?
Nair, yeah, with a stick. I just.
Ow.
Just rub it on.
How do you get back there?
You know that?
Just with a stick, and then I just wash it off.
This is my new cream of wheat.
Was it?
This just
Nair back hair talk?
Chuck nairing his backside.
The Chuck Nair story. I will do my real worst of week. Ish Smith, one of my favorite players.
Man.
Inexplicably?
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, it's very, if you've listened to the show, it's splickable.
It's splicked. It's been splicked.
This is Ish Smith of Ish Plays 30, the hashtag, where we're hoping he gets on every NBA team. He's about a third of the way there.
No more same team mistakes, Ish.
He took 28 shots in a game versus the Knicks. And Ish Smith and Carmelo Anthony, this is a little foreshadowing to our International Stackhouse of Pancakes this week. Had a little shootout. The classic Carmelo goes head to head with Ish Smith. He took 28 shots. Ish and Carmelo both did. However, Ish only ended up with 16 points, which is the second most shot attempts since 1985, according to our friend's Basketball Reference.
Was that Mark Aguirre?
That is the second most shots to get 16 points.
Jeez.
Antoine Walker,
who
in 2001 took 29 shots to get 16 points.
And then went straight to casino and put $50,000 on black.
Right. So my worst is Ish with the, what we call that, inefficient. It was a good game. They took the Knicks to overtime. And the Sixers, as we said, are now wonderfully mediocre.
I'd like to think that Ish Smith at the end of every season goes to his agent, points at a team that he's never, ever been to, and says, agent, bring me that horizon.
We get some numbers here. Ish Smith, 76ers before Ish's trade, 1-30.
Yep.
Since 4-8.
And that even includes a couple of overtime losses. Could have gone either way.
91 points per game before, 101 after, 41% field goal percentage, 46% after, 18 assists per game, 24. He's good. He's doing things that makes them just
average.
Ugly.
He's a fine player. He's a good penetrator. He gets to the hole really well.
MVP.
And at the very least, he knows how to set a player up.
I'm going to give you a Sophie's choice or a Solomon's choice if you want to get back to your roots. Ish Smith or Ramon Sessions?
Oh, Ish Smith is the new Ramon Sessions.
He is. He has replaced him.
I will say when Jahlil Okafor wins Rookie of the Year, he needs to split that award.
He's not winning with Rookie of the Year.
He needs to split that award with Ish Smith.
He's finishing third.
And with Sam Mitchell.
Jahlil Okafor is finishing third Rookie of the Year. You really think he's going to beat out Lord Porzingis and the Big Cat?
I think Big Cat, I don't know. I think Big Cat is the best player.
No. Lord Porzingis.
You think Porzingis is better than Karl Anthony Towns?
In a racist way,
I can't wait to find out.
Yeah, I was like, there's no way.
Did you see his line last night?
On Wednesday night, yeah.
Good gravy.
But I might point out that I think Karl-Anthony Towns is the youngest player to ever have 25 points, 15 boards, and 6 blocks
in
the last couple of days. So
he's a phenomenon. After the rookie of the year races we've seen recently, this is a welcome respite.
However, I will cite Tyreke Evans, Mike Miller, and the sort. Normally, whoever scores the most wins rookie of the year. And I think Jahlil Okafor is going to have the most points per game.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the Peter Vessis of the world look at. Although, bad example, he'll vote for that, Nick.
We should do a little wager.
We can all agree, though, that the loser of the Rookie of the Year award will be the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah.
Or Justice Winslow.
Is this? I think we can move. We all did our worst of weeks. Real quick, let's move into our Waffle House Presents, the scattered, smothered, covered thoughts. Before we dive in, I would say this rookie class
really good
is beauty, again, yes. We're halfway through one season. They all could just turn out to be okay, but it is looking
no way
spectacular,
and it's like amazing that to me Jahlil Okafor is a clear third, because Jahlil Okafor looks like a pretty good player.
Right. Oh, no. He looks like a good player. I'm just saying.
There's guys like Stanley Johnson floating around.
Stanley Johnson looks great. Miles Turner just recently got some burn for the Pacers.
Yeah.
Looks fantastic. Looks
Trey Miles for the Jazz looks really good. Also, I mean, we made fun of him earlier in the year. D'Angelo Russell's looking good.
D'Angelo Russell's getting it together. Devin Booker.
Devin Booker looks lights out.
In the terrible apocalypse that is the Phoenix Suns season, he is the bright spot, and he's so young.
19.
There's so many good players, and it just keeps going up and down. Yeah. And it's like it's
Jokic in Denver.
Oh, Jokic. Yeah. Jokic.
I love him.
You hate those Eastern Europeans.
I hate their names.
9 assists in a game.
He's nasty.
But you don't hate their games.
I love watching them. I always confuse all of them. They're all the same people.
The Nurkic and the Jokic's. The
Nurkic and Jokic and. But
instead of bouncing around the league, I think we have a task.
And then you have Justice Winslow. I mean, there's just so many.
I think he'll be a top of the line defender learn to shoot a 3-point.
Like Kaminsky, he looks like an NBA player, but he doesn't look like an all star.
I'm just saying, if you come up, you get some NBA drafts where it's like, oh, that the first round produced 5 players,
right?
You know, that's like an extreme. But this looks like it might have 5 all-stars and then another host of guys who are going to be in the league for a while.
And then the Great White Hope.
And then
the greatest player who ever lived.
Jarrell Martin? Oh.
Oh, don't make any Grizzlies draft jokes, please.
No.
Please.
What are you talking about?
Please never do that.
Who's your Great White Hope you're referencing?
Lord Porzingis.
Lord Porzingis.
Get off the Porzingis already.
No way. I just saw him make fools of people. In person, I can't.
That's perfect. All right, so for the rest of our scattered, smothered, and covered, since the All-Star starters are being announced very shortly, and like any good podcast, it will happen while we're podcasting, and so you won't.
So we're
podcasting blind. We don't know what it's going to be, but we're going to go ahead and name who we think the All-Star teams should be. Luckily, the reserves won't be named today, so we still have some. We'll be ahead of the curve on that, but we're going to name them based on who we think is going to get voted in. So with the most recent round of results, and then we will say who we think would get in if it was up to us. If we were the commissioner and or a ruthless oligarch dictator.
Shall we begin with our starters? Each person gives their starters.
Are we going starters based on who you think should be in the game?
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely.
I have no interest in discussing Kobe Bryant or Kyrie Irving at this juncture.
Okay. John, why don't you start for us?
Okie dokie, Faye. Shall I go Eastern or Western? It's no longer Leastern or Bestern, by the way.
It's the Beastern and
the Weestern.
The Beastern and
the Worstern?
The Worstern, something like that.
The Beastern and the
Worstern. Well, let's start with the best conference. Let's go East. I have. Starting at guard, Kyle Lowry. Other guard, Jimmy Butler. Then we have the front court. 3 front court players. That's how it goes. You get 2 guards and 3 front court players. Andre Drummond, LeBron James, and Paul George. I think we might be unanimous.
I have those exact picks.
I also have the same thing. I think you can make a very... Part of me could vote because we don't have... I like having a center, even though you don't have to have centers anymore.
Right.
So part of me feels like I could take Drummond off, but then I'm not sure who to put in.
Millsap.
Like, I think it could be Millsap. He's been fantastic. I feel like the Heat dropping off. I don't want to do Bosch. I think Carmelo has a legit argument, but I still think, you know, probably not. So I, so we're gonna unanimous. We think those five are in: Jimmy Butler, Kyle Lowry, Paul George, LeBron James, Andre Drummond. I don't think that's controversial.
Nope, I agree on that. That all said, I think our
now Western, it could get a little weird.
So we want
to
do,
yeah, let's go to the West and just do our starters over
the front,
there.
I think the front court gets a little hairy. I have, of course, Steph Curry and Russell Westbrook. Then my front court, I feel like the first two are free throws, Draymond Green and Kawhi Leonard. Then, for my third front court player, I took Boogie Cousins.
Well, I'm not going to have to disagree with you there, John.
Uh-oh.
I think I'm going to go, I think might be more mainstream or more down the center. I think it's obvious, the Curry and Westbrook. I also have Draymond, also have Kawhi, and I think Kevin Durant. For my fifth front.
Mine was the toss-up between Durant and Boogie, and I went with Durant. But it's, I think, splitting hairs.
For me, Durant didn't even enter the conversation for me.
You really think it should be Boogie?
I was between Boogie and Anthony Davis and James Harden.
Wild. I mean, I would
excuse
say...
Excuse me, not James Harden. Excuse me, LaMarcus Aldridge.
Oh, yeah.
That's weird. I feel like we can...
This has been, for Durant, not his best year.
I think putting LaMarcus Aldridge, I'm not sure he's the most, he might be the third most important player on the Spurs, if that.
The numbers don't bear that out at all.
Like, I mean,
he is everywhere in the advanced stats.
Well, the advanced stats for the Spurs are almost so loopy, it's just hard to read them.
Yeah, because everyone
is so good.
Defensive rating.
Yeah, and everyone,
but then LaMarcus Aldridge is right there with everything.
Well, then so is Paul George and Boris Diaw. I mean, right. It's like they have 10 guys that are in the top of
the
rating.
Who do you mean instead of Paul George? You mean Danny
Green? Danny Green.
Oh, okay.
How about Danny Green?
Well, Danny Green's not having a very good year, but he's showing
shooting
up defensively.
Wise, exactly. Yeah. So that's interesting. Just for me, Durant, the Thunder are rounding so much into shape right now. It looks like maybe old Coach Billy is getting the hang of it.
Well, I just felt like the Spurs are so good. Like, historically good. This is, by the numbers, according to Nate Silver at 538, I can't remember the name of that stat they use, but it's really neat. This is the best Spurs team ever.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. And then another thing.
They got that better net rating than the Warriors, better point differential than the Warriors.
When it came to my starters.
As of a couple of days ago, I don't know if that's still the same.
When it came to my starters, I kind of leaned on usage rate a little bit.
Okay.
And the fact that Kevin Durant isn't really the focal point of his team's offense any longer, which seems strange.
Right.
That's what bumped him down to a reserve. I still think he's a great player. I can't imagine he won't start for me any other year. But this year, I feel like there are better players in the West than him.
I would say he's second to Steph Curry in offensive win shares. Kevin Durant there.
Yeah. I mean,
not to throw just one arbitrary stat in your face.
I think offensive win shares is not as arbitrary a stat as some of the others we'll probably discuss shortly.
Right.
Who did you have? You also had Durant, Chuck?
Yeah, I had Durant in, but it was a flip between Durant and Cousins, and Boogie.
You said.
I went with Durant because he played more games, pretty much. It was pretty much my – he played four more games.
And, hey, that's and considering his injury history of the past shortly, that's a big deal for lovers of the Thunder.
I mean, that's the checklist of Oklahoma City Thunder going into the year is, like, will Durant play?
Right. And
that's like the most important.
So he's playing, I think, playing himself back into shape, and they've managed to shift the workload so that Russ Westbrook can have more touches during the season, so they can keep him in this post injury year healthy.
Offensively, that is a nasty team. Like, you're seeing guys like Enes Kanter and Serge Ibaka show up in the advanced offensive stats and having good years.
Well, I mean, there's no question Enes Kanter, despite all his mockery around the basketball intelligentsia and Twitter,
the dandelion.
He's a fantastic
offensive player.
Unbelievably good offensive force, especially off the bench. Maybe a sixth man of the year.
Perhaps.
But I do love what the Thunder has done.
It's a cake reference.
Knowing that knowing that Westbrook just goes nonstop.
Right.
Why even mess with it? Just let Durant play off him. That's fine. It eases maybe his burden on the season.
See the headline this week? Durant is worried that Russell dunks so ferociously he's going to hurt himself.
That's probably true.
I see that and think the same thing. It's just you're going to break a hand, bro.
That man,
chill.
That man broke his face and played a game last year with a large dent in his forehead.
Remember when he broke his face?
There's a hole. A hole in his face. It was not in his forehead, in his cheek. It was terrible.
It was like the Guatemalan sinkhole, but in his cheekbone.
There's no disputing that the man is a Ninja Turtle, but I think this latest argument He's Michelangelo.
All right, so
they worry about his party.
So let's hop back. Hop back over, boys and girls.
To the east.
To the east, where we were unanimous in saying LeBron, Paul George, Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler, and Andre Drummond.
And here's what they let you have.
Starters.
Here's what they let you have. Two guards, three front court players, and then two wild cards.
Yee-haw. Three forwards.
The fives are twos.
I wish the wild card was legitimately like, pick someone crazy.
I decided to do that.
Oh, did you?
Do you want to hear them?
Yeah. Just give us all your list of reserves, John.
My guards were John Wall and DeMar DeRozan.
Just to check, did you have those, Chuck?
I have John Wall and DeMar DeRozan, but I don't have DeRozan as a guard.
It doesn't matter. I'm just saying I did too. So I'm going to get the unanimous down.
My front court.
So Wall and DeRozan are unanimous for us.
Uh-huh.
My front court's Paul Millsap, Chris Bosh, and young Hassan Whiteside.
I have those
as
well.
Old Whitey.
You got him? You got those three?
Mm-hmm.
So you, Keith? I have Millsap and Bosh. And if...
No, Whiteside.
If I had to... So if I'm picking my 12, not using the starters...
I haven't done my wild cards yet.
I have... Well, go ahead and finish then.
Kemba Walker.
Okay.
Which makes me physically ill.
Right.
And Reggie Jackson.
Okay, so I have several different than that.
Right.
I don't have Whiteside in my normal team. Assuming that Wade and Irving were in.
Yes, which I eschewed them.
I have Isaiah Thomas over.
I can't do Isaiah Thomas. It's like giving it to Vinnie Johnson.
And
I
so
can't do it to
I even understand the negative arguments to why it shouldn't be Isaiah Thomas. He gets too headstrong or too focused on just dominating the ball a lot. However, I feel like one of those weird sports writer, like, oh, that guy should be in. That team's doing pretty well.
I waffled. My last decision was Kemba Walker, who I don't like as a player. But then, like, when I looked at the two guys after him, was Isaiah Thomas, Kevin Love, and Dwayne Wade. And Kevin Love and Dwayne Wade, for them, I feel, are not having the best of years. And then Isaiah Thomas, I'm like, Isaiah Thomas is just Kemba Walker off the bench. I can't do this. Kemba Walker gets on.
Did I miss you saying Carmelo Anthony?
He didn't even enter the conversation.
So for me, really? Carmelo's way over. Way over Isaiah Thomas. He's over John Wall. I mean, if I had to rank him over John Wall for me, over Isaiah Thomas in the white side, obviously, or Reggie Jackson.
The thing about Carmelo is, other than his points, he's not really producing in any other meaningful fashion.
He's
I know lately he's been playing better with the Porzingis addition, but to me, when I looked at the stats, I didn't see how I could stick him on there.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like he's distributing the ball better. Again, oh, look how well he's playing after not playing well for so many years.
Right.
Like, look at him playing the right way.
And it may just be years of being forced to watch him black hole it to death. But even though I enjoy Carmelo Anthony as a player, this is a strong Eastern roster.
It is.
And there were guys like Kemba Walker who showed up, you know, in win shares and like value over replacement player in the, really high. And it's just like, when you look at the stats, you're like, gosh, as much as I don't believe that, as much as I believe this is a fluke for Kemba Walker, I mean, he just had 50 points in a game.
And yeah, it was an incredible game.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's earned it this year, and that's why I stuck him in one of my wild card spots. And then Reggie Jackson, I feel like I have to stick up for him over the likes of Isaiah Thomas, is because he's doing this as a starter. He's taking over games. This is a resurgent Detroit team. And really, the way Drummond can disappear sometimes offensively from games, he is the offense for the Detroit Pistons. And I mean, his numbers don't lie either.
So my question, John, is so now we know the starters are going to be Dwayne Wade is getting in, Carmelo Anthony is getting in, and likely Kyrie Irving is getting in.
Right.
So if you have to drop three guys from your list, which three lists are out of luck because of the fan voting in those guys?
Kemba Walker, Reggie Jackson, and Hassan Whiteside.
That is very fair, and that's pretty much...
Although Hassan Whiteside is having a statistically juggernautish year. Especially from, like, if you look at how many blocks per game and his, like, rebounding rate and stuff like that, he is lapping the field in the blocks department.
And I think...
His blocks are, yeah.
Yeah, he's...
very well said, lapping the field.
He's up against, ahead of Anthony Davis by, I believe, a block and a half a game.
Yeah, per game.
Per game, yeah. And this is Anthony Davis. And part of me wonders... historically where this sort of block season ranks him because of the way offenses have shifted away to more of a, you know, three-point shooting. Right. Is this even more impressive that he's getting four blocks a game when, you know, we're in an era of that deep ball shooting?
I actually might, that point, I feel like could be argued against it.
Really?
Because they're not shooting mid-ranges.
Right.
They're saying get to the rim or shoot three.
Yeah.
And there's actually been some stats bearing out that the block is becoming less of a worthwhile stat in today's game.
Mm. More of, you got to grab that nylon calculus rim protection numbers.
Rim protection numbers.
For me, it just came down to, I'm not even denigrating Hassan Whiteside. That's how good Chris Bosch has been.
Thank goodness.
That's how good Chris Bosch has been. And there's no way I'm putting more than two Miami Heat players on this All-Star team. That is not a great team.
It's a team that's suffering through a lot of hiccups with their point guard injuries. I get that. They've sucked the past 10 games.
If only they had a good backup point guard.
It's almost as if we had some. I remember a time when the Heat had too many point guards. When we had Shabazz Palaces and, you know.
Diamond Rio
and Norris Cole. And none of it, you know, now we can't even. We have Tyler Johnson bring the ball up. I'm going to kill myself.
The poor man's not a dribbler.
Norris Cole doing a little work for the old Pelicans.
He's about to get drafted into the full-time usage.
Yeah, Eric Gordon.
Got to get all kinds of minutes. All right, so. I think so. So, Chuck, how did you wrap up your Eastern Conference team?
So I have like two ways for me to do this. I have the team that I think is the best players in the team. I would, for history and just to see them suit up,
I have another. I think that's a fair way to do it.
Because like, I want all stars. I don't want, you know, this isn't like an all-pro team or anything like that. This isn't the all-NBA team. These are the all-star team. These are the people I want to see playing a game.
Yeah.
And I want to see Wade. And I want to see Tim Duncan. Because these are the end. That's the end of their, you know, careers, and I would like to see him one more time suit up. It doesn't bother me that Kobe gets a nod.
Okay,
I know it's ugly, but
this is.
I hate
your guts right now.
I'm sentimental about these games. They don't matter. They're stupid. So why not?
It matters a lot to these players, though, and I think it's silly and perfunctory to put the same guys in year after year. Then you don't have moments like Rolando Blackman in the '87 All Star Game. You don't have moments like Tom Chambers winning All Star Game MVP. I think it's fun and better to put in these other guys.
The argument against, I agree. I think most people. NBA nerds, we get all worked up like, oh, this guy should be in, like, right. Oh, Jeff Teague should have made it over whoever. Mm-hmm. But like the NBA fans at large, like, no, they want to see Carmelo Anthony play.
Right. And then who goes to the All-Star game though?
Rich people.
Well, besides that, who's actually watching?
Journalists.
Like, serious NBA fans.
No, it's true.
No, but so the only problem is, and I don't remember who I first saw bring this up, but the only problem is the players collective bargained like salaries. They've tied them
to all-star appearances.
If Anthony Davis makes the all-star team, he hits the Rose Rule and can make $25 million more like in his next contract, in his extension. And it's like,
it matters a lot to the players.
So it's huge. So you can't have it with like, oh, it doesn't matter. Like Kobe should be in, let the fans decide, but then have it tied into how much money you can make. Like, that's really messed up. Right. Like, it seems like...
Well, as it stands, we have a broken system. I think the fan voting is ridiculous. So we're going to have bad...
It ruins Twitter for a month.
It really does. So we might as well have, if we're going to, you know, have it kind of disturbed by sentiment and fan, you know, fervor, we might as well put in, I think, the players that... legacy players, people who have been there.
But they get that sentiment through the starters. So the reserves, I strongly feel the reserves should be... Solid. Should be for us.
I understand the points, but to get to my picks, I do have basically parallel picks. One of the, you know, gee whiz, fuzzy feeling, I want that guy in, and then the other one is, no, these are the best players.
Right.
So I go Millsap, DeRozan, Bosch, Melo. Melo's a starter. Reggie, Wall.
But you have Melo in anyway?
Melo's in.
I do.
Yeah. And then my, you know, my starters are the same as yours. So right. I have Bosch, Melo. I also have Wade and, John Wall and that's it.
I mean, John Wall, the DeRozan Lowry thing, I gave Lowry the starting nod just because the numbers cannot be disputed, but I do think John Wall is probably having a better year than him because DeRozan is playing out of his mind.
It's fantastic.
I don't think DeRozan nor Kyle Lowry will continue on this because this is what they do every year.
Right.
But before the All-Star break, you're not going to find a better backcourt.
And DeRozan somehow playing still taking inefficient shots, but turning it into an incredibly efficient game now.
Right.
It's spectacular. It's
he's got to be the best player who can't dribble in the entire league, especially at the guard position.
Yeah, at the guard slash forward position. Let's move to the Western Conference. Let's go ahead and say, so let's start with Kobe is in. Let's start with, so.
Well, but, shall I list my reserves first?
I would say yes. So we're unanimous. The voted in starters, Westbrook, Curry, Draymond, Durant, we're guessing. Those are all right. No argument. And then Kobe is in, and then Kawhi.
So Kobe will be at a forward then.
Yeah, Kobe's at a voted in as the forward.
Well, I'll go ahead and do mine without Kobe.
Yeah, okay.
Because I'm not sure how to, I will be able to tell you who I think gets dropped.
You got to throw one out. Yeah.
Okay. What I had before adding in Kobe, I had Chris Paul and Harden at the guards. Anthony Davis, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Kevin Durant at the forwards. Wild cards, I had Rajon Rondo and Derek Favors. I would absolutely be dropping Derek Favors.
Wait, you have Favors?
Yes.
He's missed like 12 games in a row?
Hey, before that, was one of the best power forwards.
I find the Favors remarkable.
If he had missed the first 12 games and had the numbers afterwards, you wouldn't have been saying this to me.
No, I would, because he doesn't come close to the guys I've selected, John.
Mm-hmm. Like who?
Well, I mean, Timmy Duncan.
Timmy Duncan only shows up in that defensive rating advanced stat and shows up nowhere else. He's a great player.
He is the captain of a murderous buzzsaw of a team.
What a terrible argument. Why don't you put Derek Jeter on there? Good Lord.
I don't even understand your reference.
LaMarcus Aldridge has done everything Tim Duncan has done and then has the stats to back it up.
LaMarcus Aldridge is the point scoring...
See, and this is where it comes down to.
Point scoring. How about rebounding? How about rebounding rate?
There is no rubric. We can't choose these players based on anything. So we have to go with our heart. We have to go with our guts.
There are plenty of rubrics.
No, but there isn't a steady thing we can all go against.
I'm fine with you putting LaMarcus in over Derek Favors, but
I'm with that.
Right. Favors is my wildest of wild cards, along with Rajon Rondo.
So mine, this is me, Harden, Chris Paul, Brow, Duncan, fuzzy feeling pick, LaMarcus, head stats pick. I want to go Boogie, Kawhi. My last one was tough, so I went Klay Thompson.
Wow.
I think that team needs three players from it on the All-Star team.
Then put in Ian Clark.
So we're all agreed on, right. I feel like we're agreed on 10 of them. Because you have Harden, you have Chris Paul, you have Kawhi, you have Boogie Cousins, and Anthony Davis.
Right.
So
my hardest snubs were Duncan, DeAndre, and Lillard.
So my last two are Duncan and Blake Griffin.
No. Especially in how this season is. Doc Rivers doesn't know how to use Blake Griffin.
I'm fine with that.
And I don't think he's playing at an all-star level. I think you'll see more arguments for and I have seen arguments, strangely, for J.J. Redick than Blake Griffin this year. I don't...
The Kyle Korver defense.
Right. We talked about the Kyle Korver slot when we were bantering before the show. Like, people are like, well, I don't know. J.J. Redick's shooting at a historic clip right now.
Right.
And they just feel the need to slot some white guy into that slot.
It's not great that the Clippers are unstoppable when Blake doesn't play.
Oh, absolutely.
But as much as I want to pick the best players...
How do you do Blake over DeAndre?
For me, I don't think DeAndre, I don't know. I'm not a huge DeAndre fan.
I understand. Neither am I.
He's the unstoppable alley-oop force and fantastic rebounder.
He gets every rebound.
But he's not great at defense.
He's not good at scoring.
If he'd ended up, I feel like he's part of, I give so much of his credit to Chris Paul. I feel like if DeAndre Jordan ended up on the Dallas Mavericks.
I agree, and that's why he's not on my team.
Oh my goodness! It'd be some ugly numbers. So as I was saying, so I want to pick what I think are the best players and who's having a good season. So he loses some in that argument on having the best season, but then we go over to Chuck or / the common man.
Oh,
how can you have an All-Star game without Blake Griffin?
I mean alley-oop machine
making the vines. You know,
no, I get it, and I mean, and hopefully when he gets left off, and he won't. They'd put him in the dunk contest or something. But for me, the hardest to leave off was Dame Lillard, because Portland's been better than expected, and it's been on his shoulders.
I think CJ McCollum has
helped a lot.
Shared that burden so much.
I agree.
I don't think Dame wasn't really close for me. For me, the
very inefficient player.
For me, if I Kobe pick, like
Dame Lillard definitely wants to be on the team the most, though.
He wrote that letter, man.
Hassan, I think, is a close second.
Yeah. So my Kobe fill-in in my mind, I'm picking between Clay and Dirk. And Dirk is the, I know Dirk is the most, I have the hardest time arguing with the straight face.
No, Dirk, I understand. But his shooting numbers are so good. Thing at all.
Again, Clay Thompson is on part of one of the, maybe a historically great team. He's averaging a bunch of points. He's second in the league in three pointers made. He's just a big part of it. That's what I'm saying.
You cannot give me the injury argument with Favors and then do Thompson, I don't think.
Favors is on a 500 team. They're not even 500.
So and he hasn't played. You don't want to have the best player on 500 teams make the All-Star team. You'd rather have three guys from the best team. I completely disagree.
I would not take a. I don't think Favors is. I guess he's their. Yeah, he's
could
the.
Be their best
he's
player.
The, he's, their best the, player. He's their best player. But you're talking about a front court guy who isn't necessarily a go-to score. He is their go-to scorer, and that's the problem. like they would be better if they had another go-to type guy. Like, I don't think I would take Favors over the awful season Marc Gasol is having.
Okay.
Like, okay.
Swap Favors and Clay on those teams.
That's a much better argument than what you had posited.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if you swap them, Utah's much better with Clay Thompson on it than.
I mean, I feel like I would take Karl Anthony Towns over Derek Favors. Like that, and that team is terrible.
I would too, but statistically, Favors is having a better year.
He is having a very good year statistically.
That's fine.
But also, I dislike the argument of, and I think it's a new argument, and especially if you go back and look at old All-Star teams, that having lots of players from the best team, I think that's relatively new, and I think it's a little wrongheaded.
I'm not.
I think it's
so,
the last decade.
I'm not so into that. I just feel like Klay Thompson has a legit All-Star claim.
Like in our league of parity, which we have, I think the All-Star team should represent it as such.
I agree, but it's not usually just not
to some degree.
I mean, yeah, it would be better for the league if a small market team had Derek Favors as an All-Star instead of throwing in extra Klay Thompson to, give the Warriors three. But
I think I would. I mean, also
he's won one of the historically great teams ever.
I agree. But they're going to have two starters.
He's going to be. He's either depending on the night, politically. Second or third best player on one of the historically great teams of all time. I don't see why he wouldn't be.
I think Clay has clearly slipped to third on that Warriors team.
Oh yeah, but I agree.
Those are our picks,
no question.
And really, there's no point in arguing them any further.
Yeah.
Hey, we all still love each other, right?
In the long run,
it'll be interesting to see what the coaches do. I think the West is actually easier. I don't think there's going to be a lot of shocked people in the West.
No.
I can tell you now, your boy Derek Favors not getting
it. No, and I probably not Rondo either, but I was excited no one disputed it because Rondo's having a great year.
Well, I think your Rondo pick is hilariously bad, but anyway.
Leading the league in assists, he's running an offense well.
Aren't they? They're better when he doesn't play, right?
No.
Isn't that the thing? All right, let's move on to the awards.
Actually not.
Let's move on to the awards segment of the program, the International Stackhouse of Pancakes. This is given each week to the worst performance in a box score. This week we have a few honorable mentions, such as the aforementioned Ish Smith for his 8-for-28 Brichter piece campaign with an 0-for-9, Jameer Nelson 1-for-10, Kyle Lowry 5-for-20, honorable mention, of course. Enough with the undersized guards, our actual nominees as they occurred chronologically over the last 8 days. Nikola Mirotic.
I feel like I'm stunned he's not on here more.
Yeah.
One of the streakiest shooters I've ever
Bulls
seen.
Bulls fans are too. He doesn't normally get enough shot attempts.
Right.
However, this week, he put it up 13 times, made two of them.
Love.
7 points, 5 rebounds, 5 turnovers. That is a terrible, terrible line.
All right, give me my Josh Richardson.
Frequent contributor, Dame Lillard.
Mm.
4-for-18, 14 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 turnovers. And then Carmelo Anthony with the aforementioned, a true Stackhouseian performance, 7-for-28, but 19 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 turnovers, couple fouls.
So almost a triple-double.
Almost a triple-double.
Lots of shots. Very Stackhouseian.
One very Stackhouseian. So
Carmelo Anthony can't beat nobody up.
That's true.
No.
Dame Lillard.
So you,
all day.
You vote the madam.
Mm-hmm. An old lady of the stage.
I'm a big, that Mirotić line, why in the world is he turning it over 5 times?
That's a lot of turnovers.
In addition to going 2-for-13.
Yeah, but Dame Lillard, if he's
too many
not,
pump fakes and travels, I bet.
If he's not getting to the line, and he only has 2 boards and 2 assists, what is he even doing?
Rough.
Ugly.
Chuck, you want to break the
this is our all-star episode, and who is gunning for that all-star appearance more than Dame Lillard? No one on the planet.
Definitely the epistolary all-star.
The epistolary.
So
I would have to go with Lillard.
Damian Lillard.
Dame Judy.
With another Stackhouse of Pancakes award. Congratulations. I feel Nikola.
We're coming for you.
Nikola dodged a huge bullet.
Sit tight, bro.
2 for 13, 5 turnovers.
I think there's some self-loathing in this for Keith, because Keith has to look in the mirror every day, and who does he see? Nikola Mirotic.
You are effectively his avatar.
I think I might have a darker complexion than him. one of the few.
Those are freckles, son.
One of the few. All right, guys. Par fadeaway. What are you guys looking forward to in the coming week?
I'm looking forward to rabbling.
Oh, yeah. We are going to rabble next Thursday. We believe the Raptors and Knicks on TNT.
Game. The early game.
Yeah, so you guys can listen. Just go to rabble.tv and find Fast Break Breakfast.
Mute your TV and listen to us.
And we will be doing some of that. It's fun.
You can do it yourself.
You can do it yourself.
Just don't do that.
Don't do that game.
Wait until you listen to us so you know how to do it right.
And listen to us. I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to. An unstoppable force meets immovable object.
Spurs Warriors
on Monday night. Late night.
At the Oracle.
Like 10:40 Eastern.
My favorite stuff. I will be lit.
It's gonna be a fun late night game.
Who you got in that game, son?
I think I'm gonna take the home team. I think the Warriors, all the blogosphere was talking about how the Spurs, you know, were getting ahead with that best point differential, best net rating. But I think the Warriors got healthy, kinda.
I'll go Spurs.
Woke up.
Chucklehead, who you got?
Spurs. I just think they care more.
Not to argue against myself.
Right.
But does Bogut's injury actually help the Warriors?
More lineup of death.
More LOD.
Mm. Awesome.
What a rush.
Just reverb through my...
My bones rattled.
Right. Just a little wrestling reference for my dogs.
I was going to say, also that Bogut injury.
My Road Warriors.
Shout out friend of the show, Festus Ezeli, getting more of that run.
Play Festus too much, they're going down.
Yep. So I got something to close out.
Yeah,
Chuck. So something interesting. It's a par fadeaway, but it was an interesting thing I read on Uber Facts.
Oh, I take them everywhere when I'm drunk.
Oh, that's it? A study found that NBA players' accuracy from unfairly awarded free throws is unusually low compared to free throws awarded for real fouls. So, in the words of Rasheed Wallace,
ball don't lie.
It was a study, y'all.
Take that, Joey Crawford.
Science. All right, you guys. Thanks for listening. Once again, follow us on rabble.tv. Also, follow us on Twitter at FastBreakBreak. Interact with us there. Like us on Facebook. Give us a review on iTunes.
Insta.
Oh, our Instagram, it's so hard to, you got to sign in and out on your phone.
Chuck's got it.
It's so awful.
Instagram is not made for multiple accounts.
No.
Like Twitter. All right, you guys, stick around for the Grizzlies epilogue presented by Fan Essentials. And once again, thanks for listening. You guys are the best. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing. All right, welcome to the Grizz Epilogue. Before we dive in, I want to tell you about our friends, Fan Essentials. If you are a hardcore Grizzlies fan, I assume you've heard of them. But if you haven't signed up for their January box, it ships out in 3 days. And right now, if you go on there, they'll give you 20% off on their bigger box. You get a t-shirt and all kinds of gear. They have them for several teams. Go to fanessentials.net and check them out and really build up your wardrobe.
Hell yeah. Valentine's Day is a coming, ladies.
Yeah, yeah.
Do not get me any chocolates. Do not get me any floral arrangements. Give me a box of sports gear.
I'm trying to get some socks, yo.
Perfect. All right. Our Memphis Grizzlies have wrapped up a 5-1 homestand. They sit, again, I'm not really happy with where they are in a general playing basketball sense.
I got some silver linings for
that. But if I look at the standings, they're in fifth. Not bad.
Beat a good Celtics team. Mark the Shark seems to be back. Mike Conley with his first really good game of the year. Come on.
He made two runners.
Yeah, he made some floaters.
Multiple runners.
Some floaters.
My biggest issue is, they beat some okay teams because, there aren't the East, again, isn't the cakewalk anymore. All these teams are battling 500. We're two miracle Pistons games away from not from being three games over 500.
Two miraculous endings. Diamond Rio.
Diamond Rio took over that basketball game.
I'm sick and tired of people besmirching that last shot he made. And you know why? Made three free throws prior to that play to put us in the position for him to make the miracle shot.
The miracle Mario Chalmers shot was perfect. I don't know anyone who would... I would not respect anyone criticizing it.
Oh, people are criticizing it.
When the Grizzlies got the ball in transition, Jaeger tried to call a timeout.
Because Jaeger's a fool.
This is now both Pistons games. Jaeger tried to call timeout. But this time
Pelicans game, he almost blew the game by calling timeout.
Right. And so again, but then he changed his mind when he saw there was a fast break. So he at least did not pursue the issue, but it's a great job. You get those transition opportunities, take them. It's much better than a lot of times the drawn up. Although I will say, got to give Jaeger all the credit.
He's good at that.
His out of timeout play when they had the ball with like 30 seconds left or 35 seconds left, ran a brilliant play to run all the clock off. They got Courtney Lee wide open three, missed the shot, but then Gasol got the rebound, and that was pretty much the ball game.
And then Gasol makes that amazing pass down.
Then Gasol tapped the free throw out to run the clock out.
Beautiful.
Look, like you've said many times before, I'm going to keep harping on this until the entire world agrees with you. Dave Jaeger would make a hell of an assistant coach.
Right.
Just let him draw the plays. And then get that goatee out the captain's seat.
There has to be some middle ground between pure masculinity Lionel Hollins, because that's how he ran that team with his
right.
He just pulled it out in the locker room and he said, I can beat all of you up because I think he can.
Yep, probably could.
Probably even Z-Bo. I think Z-Bo looks at him and goes, I don't want to mess with him.
Let's not get it. Come on. Let's dial it back.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Got a little out of hand.
Easy.
Yeah.
At best, Z-Bo respects the OG status Lionel Hollins has.
Absolutely.
And then they went full opposite spectrum with basically a book nerd, a guy who knows the game in and out but can't control a room full of men like that. And that's a problem, I think, with
an organization. You think just because he's
five? That must be why Jeff Green.
I think because he grew
Georgetown Jeff and Dave get along so well.
Yeah. They're the hoity-toity guys. Look, Dave Jaeger once had a goatee, and I will never respect
a man that
wears a goatee. You know that. We have a rule here on Fast Baked Breakfast.
We do.
You shave it all off, or you grow a beard.
Mm-hmm. Or you can mustache it.
We
can make the mustache
Although Chuck recently told me I cannot have a mustache.
If that is about as good as your mustache gets, you're done, bruh. You're going nowhere.
Can I at least be like sleazy mustache guy?
You look like
I can do the the twirls at the
you
end.
You definitely look like a lounge lizard.
Okay, I'll take it. That sounds cool.
I don't want to turn off any of our listeners. If you're out there and have the goatee, I know we got a couple. It's okay. I'm just saying
What was his screen name? I forgot.
I'm saying if you're a white guy and you have a goatee, and I know this might be racial,
you better be a biker.
I'm saying you need to look in the mirror and just assess and figure out if something better could happen.
Yep,
just take your time.
I think maybe a full beard might serve you better.
Real talk.
I think maybe a mustache might serve you better.
Would you rather watch goatee or Hitler mustache?
What do you say? Mm-hmm. Watch. What do you mean?
Look at it.
Rock.
If I had to make a choice, I have to go goatee. I mean, that's historically bad facial hair.
Some of my friends, we had goatee Groundhog Day a couple years ago, mm-hmm. and I have some pictures of me with a goatee. Horrifying.
That's terrible.
And it's
and how bad the facial hair of Adolf Hitler.
You know,
he removed it from Charlie Chaplin.
Let me take it the other way. Goatee or Chaplin?
Chaplin. That's the problem. It is no longer Chaplin.
Okay. Let's get back to basketball. Okay. Goatee or Michael Jordan from that one hands commercial.
That one.
You know where we took it? You know where we took it on a goatee Groundhog Day? Where we went and got some
bites? Can I guess?
Puxatani.
Yeah. Hooters.
Close. Went to an Applebee's.
Oh, Grizzlebee's. Very nice.
Yeah, we're
Grizzlebee's.
Did you drink a Brutus?
Ironic eating. That's us. All right. I think to close up the Grizzlies epilogue, the problem I have still is it still seems like there is no lineup or rotation set. It seems to be game to game. Like, maybe Mario Chalmers is good with Conley. Like, we don't even see it some games. You don't know who's going to play, and I don't feel like that's the best way to go about it.
Chuck is stabbing my beer. We have to do the Conley-Rio lineups.
Yep.
Because when we get to the playoffs, we are going to be... It's going to be desperate times call for desperate measures.
Right.
So we're going to have to see what the lineups look like with the best players on the floor.
Right.
So I feel like we need to get that stuff out of the way as a team.
I think next week we're going to dive into some trades we might like to see the Grizzlies make.
I don't even know if I can wait for this.
I've got a couple of doozies lined up.
This is you're killing me.
Here's a sneak.
I have one?
No.
You know the cap. I don't understand the cap.
Here's a sneak preview. We trade for an injured Wilson Chandler just to preempt free agency. Let's get him on the team for next year. This season is over.
I love it. Who do you get rid of?
Oh,
Jeff Green.
Oh yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for listening to the Grizzlies epilogue. Check out fanessentials.net. Follow us again on Twitter. Let's get that Grizz conversation going. It's fun. All right. You guys are the best. Thanks.
Get a box and arrive safely.